when you paint everything with this broad brush of racism, you close the door to coherent dialogue. Like, this is the dialogue that we need to have that can lead to real solutions for these issues. When you cry racism at everything, you actually snatch the voice of the victims of real racism, because you're diverting attention away from them. I don't think it's fair to just lump everything together into this bowl of racism soup. The most peaceful people that I know, they don't read the news. They don't even have a TV. I know I sound like a lady from the 50s, an 80-year-old lady from the 50s who's there like, oh, the TV's the devil's box. Like, they were right. They knew what they were talking about when they said that. Hello and welcome to the Lux Montes podcast. My name is B, and in this podcast, we explore what it means to be a courageous Christian living in a chaotic anti-Christ culture. The show is from my perspective as a British Nigerian millennial who is discovering life in the northwest of England. It is my greatest hope that the series provokes you to a deeper and biblical way of thinking about current issues, to help you cut through the noise and inspire you to live courageously in a world that's growing darker by the second. I am delighted to have you back here on the Lux Montes podcast. Today, I continue the mini-series on race. In today's episode, we'll be talking about the big influence that the media has on racial tension, and also what we as Christians can do about it and how we can be on guard. Have you seen one of those headlines that say something like, experts found that 90% of Black kids fail their GCSEs due to systemic racism? I'm sure you have. Obviously, I made that one up, but there's so many similar headlines that you see just bouncing around the media. Whenever I come across any headline that looks like this, I always have a few follow-up questions, even before I like read further or listen further to that news. My first question always is, who are these experts? Like, you only see experts here, experts there. Like, who are they? And who is paying their salary? Who are they affiliated to? Also, which Black kids did they interview? Did they survey? And where are they based? Do they speak for me? Like, are they representative of me and all the other Black people that I know? And then finally, what on earth is systemic racism? So these are all the questions that quickly like flash through my head whenever I come across, you know, something like this. Before 2020, like many young people, I never gave that phrase systemic racism or institutional racism much thought, but it just kept cropping up in the news. And the more frequently it appeared in the media, the more it piqued my curiosity. Obviously, I know that phrase has existed before then. I'd come across it before 2020. I just never paid much attention. So I started to pay attention. I started to look into it. And there was just always this report, this commission, this expose about racial disparities. Almost every week, there's something in the news. And it's never good news. Today, I'm not here to talk about systemic racism in any depth or to prop it up or to debunk it. What I do want to point your attention to is how the media always seems to constantly present racism or systemic racism as a very superficial conclusion to very complex issues of racial disparities. Now, disparity just means significant difference. And one of the things I kept noticing was that the conclusions that these reports come to often neglect the fact that disparities have other causes beyond race. In fact, it's not very hard to just realize that if we go back to that example that I gave about 90% of Black kids failing their GCSEs, how could you immediately come to the conclusion of systemic racism when there's so many variables that could affect that, like that can and does affect something like that? All you need is a little bit of extra diligence in research or even just logical reasoning, and you see that, okay, there are other reasons this could be possible rather than just jump into the conclusion of racism. And, you know, sometimes even the reasons are not so obvious or simple. It can be layers of like so many different influences that result in an outcome of disparity. So sometimes it's easy to see, sometimes it's much more complex and it's just not easy to see. So whenever I read, you know, these reports, and it's got me scratching my head like, oh, okay, I wonder why they came to that conclusion. Another thing that comes to my mind is something that I learned at school. It's something called research bias. I'm sure you've heard about it before. And research bias is bias that impacts the validity or the reliability of a research result and can also lead to, you know, misinterpretation of the result or of the data. So there's so many different types of bias that can affect a research. There's information bias, confirmation bias, interviewer bias, publication bias, researcher bias, selection bias, and so many more biases that we're not going to get into today. And so whenever I come across a report or an expose or whatever that says expert says blah, 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 I immediately, it just runs through my mind automatically. Like, okay, there's so many biases that's potentially involved in this. So I keep that as a filter in sort of in front of my mind as I go through, you know, the results that's been presented. So if little old me, who is far from being an intellectual, doesn't have a PhD, doesn't have any special knowledge, if I can understand these influences, surely these so-called think tanks that pump out, you know, all these reports are aware of these biases as well. Are they aware that, you know, there's so many things that influence the conclusion that they come to? Of course they are. Like, come on, they are far more intelligent than I am for them to be in the position that they are, I'm assuming. So I ask myself, if they are aware, if they know these things, these biases exist but refuse to present it in their report, why do they keep doing this? Why also does the media keep plastering these studies, these reports and exposés everywhere? And secondly, why on earth do people keep slurping down their lazy, shoddy narrative? I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I finally got to a conclusion very recently when we were driving down on the M6 motorway, and just suddenly traffic started to slow down. It turned out there was a major accident that was just slightly ahead of us. So I found out that three vans and a lorry had been involved. And of course, we prayed for the people who were involved whilst we were waiting. But eventually the road reopened and we were able to move. And then when we were driving past the scene of the accident, and I'm so ashamed to say this, I found myself shamefully sitting up in my seat and stretching my neck for a better look. What on earth was I looking for? I think a lewd and depraved part of me was hoping to catch a glimpse of maybe a severed finger or a severed toe on the side of the road or between the mangled remains of the cars, hoping that maybe the ambulance forgot to pick them up. I believe that this is one of the reasons why news companies and the media continue to pump out these headlines that seemingly, just without many people realizing it, fuel racial tension. In a sick and twisted way, we can't seem to take our eyes off bad news. Whenever something tremendous is happening, we just want to take a look. We just want to see what's going on. And various studies, now I looked into this, various studies show that stories with more negative terms in the headline drive more clicks and engagement. Whilst conversely, stories with positive terms in the headline decreases engagement. And there's also this old journalist mantra that says, if it bleeds, it leads, which means that the more disgusting, the more shocking something is, the more people want to see it, the more it's gonna sell. And all of this just promotes something called negativity bias. And negativity bias is this psychological phenomenon that where we have greater recall of negative events, negative memory, negative thoughts compared to positive ones. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and have a look at today's interlude. Are your sins forgiven? If not, I set before you this day a full and free salvation. I invite you to follow the steps of the penitent thief. Come to Christ and live. I tell you that Jesus is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I tell you he can do everything that your soul requires. Though your sins be as scarlet, he can make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is no change after death. There is no conversion in the grave. There is no new heart given after the last breath is drawn. The very day we go, we launch forever. The day we go from this world, we begin an eternal condition. From that day, there is no spiritual alteration, no spiritual change. As we die, so shall we receive our portion after death. As the tree falls, so it must lie. This excerpt was taken from one of my favorite books titled Holiness. It was written by J.C. Ryle, who was an evangelical minister of the Church of England in the 19th century. He was born on the 10th of May 1816 in Macclesfield in England and was known as the first bishop of Liverpool. I cannot recommend the book Holiness enough, and I strongly believe that it should be in the library of every serious Christian. I will be sharing more about Bishop Ryle and more of his work in future episodes. Welcome back. I hope you really enjoyed today's interlude. If you want to leave a comment, let me know what you think. And yeah, let's get back into it. So before the break, I asked two questions. And the first question was, why does the media keep putting out, you know, these things in the news that doesn't help racial tension or racial relations? My second question is, why do we keep slurping it up? Why do we keep reading it? Why can't we look away? And one of the reasons that I concluded is due to something called confirmation bias. I know lots and lots of biases, but yeah, confirmation bias is the tendency to search for evidence that confirms something that we believe rather than evidence that disconfirms it. So if I believe that too many black people wear black, that means everywhere I look, I'm going to see a lot of Black people that wear black. It doesn't mean that it's so automatically my brain's going to discard. If even if I see not that many people that wear black, I'm still going to think that a lot of Black people wear black because I already hold that belief and I'm looking for it to be confirmed. So everywhere I look, it's going to seem like, oh yeah, there's confirmation that that happens. I suspect that confirmation bias is the reason a lot of Black people, especially, we like to click on these headlines because it's like a lot of us are looking for racism everywhere. So if I can see a headline that says the school is racist, that's good because now I've got somebody else to blame besides myself for failing my GCSEs 10 years ago, even though I never studied. If the school can be blamed and I don't have to take personal responsibility for my own failure, why not? I've always suspected that there's racism in the school. So if I see a headline that says, well, 97% of kids fail because of racism, then I'm justified, right? We need to remember that there is no glory. There's absolutely no glory in seeing everything through race-colored glasses. Looking for racism in everything, it doesn't make you more enlightened than anybody else. And God forbid you decide to be that person who doesn't want to see racism in everything. You refuse to accept the blind, you refuse to blindly accept their narrative of oppression and victimhood. And suddenly, oh, you are stupid. You are a sellout. You are blinded by the man. Now, before, you know, they come for me and whatever it is, am I saying that racism doesn't exist in the UK? Am I saying that the UK is this land of milk and honey and it's this utopia where ethnic minorities live this trouble-free, fantastic lives? Am I saying that the UK has no work to do when it comes to racial issues? Of course not. Like, that would be completely absurd. Let me tell you, just like a lot of other people of ethnic minorities, I have my own woeful tales of racism. Like, just like everyone, I have my own experiences of racism. Basically, what I'm actually trying to say is that it's important to ask clarifying questions rather than blindly just accepting these sloppy narratives that have been carved out to manipulate and control you emotionally. Like, I don't like anyone to use my ignorance as a sort of emotional exploitation. So whenever I see something in the news claiming to be fact, claiming that, oh, the experts have found this or the experts have found that, I don't just blindly accept it. I have more questions like, okay, you've found this. What makes this a fact? We all know how powerful what we see in the media, how powerfully it affects us. And we need to keep remembering that the media isn't the source of truth. Nowadays, the media are just like any other business. More so the morally corrupt kind, but they're still a business. They're still a company. And every company, they have their own motivation, which for the media is usually money and power, right? They know that race is an emotional topic for a lot of people and your outrage is hot currency. If they can keep you in a perpetual state of fear and anger, it's a win. It's a win for them. Now, stay with me because let me break it down a little bit further. Again, before I continue, I'm not trying to take away from anybody's experience of racism. And I'm not saying that the media is the only source of racism. It's just one aspect of it. This is just a tiny fraction of what's going on. That's what I'm trying to break down in today's episode. So I'm saying that how we see things matter. If you let a corporation with their own agenda, their own motivation, control how you see something like race, you give them a certain level of power over you. I think a lot of people like when we think about the media, we still think it's this, what it was maybe like 100 years ago or whatever, 200 years ago. I think a lot of people still do not know that most mainstream media outlets have political influences, that is, it's not even hidden. And they always have a left or right leaning ideology. I don't care for either side, but just know that if you read Sky News, or if you read CNN, if you read Fox News, if you read whatever news outlet, they have their own agenda and they have their own side that they subscribe to, if you want to think about it that way. And I never knew this until my early 20s. I foolishly believed that they just reported the truth objectively. Another thing that's becoming extremely popular, which a lot of people, again, you might not realize, and it's sometimes it's only until you look a little bit further that you notice it, is that a lot of what you actually see in the news, especially when you go to their website, a lot of the headlines that they have on their homepage is splattered everywhere. They're not even news or fact. You often see like a massive headline stating something that you automatically assume to be a fact. And then it's only when you look a little bit closer and you lean in, you see underneath that massive headline, there's a little subtext that says opinion, or it might say something like editorial, or it might say something like advertorial, but it's been written and extremely doctored or presented in a way that looks like news. I don't even think that should be legal. I think news companies should not be allowed to present editorials, advertorials, or opinion pieces in a way that can be confused with news. But is that going to happen? No. They're going to keep doing that, right? The media thrives on reporting half-truth that conveniently supports their bias or their agenda. For example, even before full evidence emerges from, I'm going to choose a sensitive topic now, from police brutality cases, the media is already painting things in a certain way that are extremely unhelpful. This is even before anybody else has the full fact. They're already putting the headline in a certain way or speculating in a way. And even sometimes when they do have the full facts, they are still using provocative words that can trigger certain people and add fuel to a fire that's already raging. Like, they do not help. And sometimes the media doesn't even have to like trigger you. They don't have to do much to trigger a lot of people. Like, for example, you're watching TV and you're watching the news, and you know, and whilst the reporter is talking about something else, you see the ticker at the bottom and the words are scrolling, breaking news, black man killed by WH. You don't even finish reading the rest of the news. You turn off your TV, you're angry, you're like, oh, what am I going to do? You rush to B&Q to buy some bricks to throw in the riots that you're going to organize about this. Like, and then you come back home, maybe turn the TV back on, and you realize that the news actually said black man killed by whale. Like, how do we allow ourselves to be controlled that much? I'll tell you why. It's because we've exalted this offense of racism. We have built racism an altar in our mind. And I know there's so many like other examples that I can, real life examples I can give you, where the news conveniently, the headlines especially, conveniently leaves out very, very important details, or they just add like white lies for maximum effect. And they don't make money if they don't affect you in any way. Your anger, your emotions, your reactions are for sale. That's what generates the next click. The media isn't a charity. They have to make money. They have to run. They have to make profit some way. So you may ask, why is it important to get things right? Why is any of this important? Why does any of this matter to me as a Christian? And I'm reminded of this scripture in Proverbs chapter 18, which says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I don't believe that that scripture is solely about positive confession or just saying the right thing. I think I deduce from it that it means that words have power to destroy. Words have power to bring death or life. Which one do you think the enemy is interested in bringing? In the same verse, in the same chapter in verse 13, it says, to give an answer before listening is folly and shame. So that means before you hear all the full case, just because you saw something in the media, you've already jumped to a conclusion and you've already said, oh yeah, it's like this. Oh yeah, it's that. And in the same chapter, verse 17, it says that the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. So that means don't jump to conclusion until you hear all the evidence, until you hear both sides. But no, even whilst the story is still developing, you've not heard full thing, like the full story. The police are still on the scene. They're still gathering the evidence. In fact, maybe that person, God forbid, it was a tragic case of somebody getting shot or something. The person's still on the stretcher on the street. And the media, the vultures, they've already taken pictures. They've already influenced it and said, oh, it's this. Even they don't even know the full story. They just put black man shot by white man. And they don't even know what happened. But they've already poisoned the minds of a lot of people. And I have a question to ask you. That what do you personally, what do you contribute to cases like this when you see it in the media? Do you also join in and fan the flames of fear and anxiety by spreading lies and sharing half-baked stories on social media? I would argue that some form of this is actually bearing false witness because you weren't there. All you've seen is maybe somebody else's post that's like 50 words or less, and you're like, that's not even enough words to explain anything that's happened. This is why whenever you like look at the they have to do a proper investigation. Why are we never interested in waiting for proper investigation before we start speculating online and saying X, Y, and Z? We don't even pray for the people. We just jump and say, yeah, it was this because this, I've seen this before. This happened before. So definitely it must this, even though you do not know the context. You don't even know what happened. Even if it's on video, all you're seeing is the last 5 seconds or the last minute. You have no clue what happened the day before, what happened 10 minutes before. You're just seeing a snippet. And I think it's really wrong to get involved without having the full information and start speculating and saying things that are just not true. You do not know them to be true. It is not helpful. As Christians, I think we ought to always be interested in and stand for the full truth. We must remain passionate about the truth and not just become slaves to our emotions. We need to have conversations that are full of wisdom, that are solution oriented. We need tailor-made solutions, which is why whenever I see these headlines, I'm like, okay, where's the rest of the information? We don't need you to exaggerate or doctor the statistics just so you can generate an inflammatory response. We want to know what's happened here. Because if I don't misdiagnose something as racism, or if I don't misdiagnose everything, every time I see it, I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's racism. If we don't do that, then we can ask the right contextual questions. For example, if we go back again to my example, I can ask, if I don't say automatically, this is because of racism, then I can ask, okay, why are 90% of Black kids failing their GCSEs? Where do they get those Black kids from? Is it one certain school in an area, or is it some group of schools in an area that they sampled? Maybe there's something wrong with the curriculums that they're teaching in that school. Maybe those kids are struggling to afford their books. Maybe they are all from like poor neighborhoods. Maybe their parents, maybe most of them, their parents just happen to be first generation immigrants. Maybe they're too busy working and they can't even help them with their schoolwork. Maybe their parents don't even speak English that well or do not understand the curriculum. Maybe the kids are battling depression. Like, there's so many reasons this can be. And one of the biggest one, usually, that goes hand in hand, but the focus is always on one, of course, is class and racism. So economic factors. Economic factors is one of the big ones that gets ignored. When you paint everything with this broad brush of racism, you close the door to coherent dialogue. Like, this is the dialogue that we need to have that can lead to real solutions for these issues. When you cry racism at everything, you actually snatch the voice of the victims of real racism, because you're diverting attention away from them. I don't think it's fair to just lump everything together into this bowl of racism soup. Context and truth are extremely important. Extremely important. We have to be able to have honest dialogue without either side foaming at the mouth. And this is how we're able to solve issues. One of the things I hear very often is, oh, why on earth would the media lie? What do they have to gain? Why would the media put out a report that they know is biased? Why would they do this? Why would they do that? The media are saints. Like, they have nothing to gain. That doesn't make sense. This is a conspiracy theory. I have two reasons where that I think this happens. You can agree or disagree. That's fine. One of them is that there's a power play going on. All these people that pretend to care about systemic racism or racism, do you think they all, as a collective, or every single one of them, do you think they genuinely care? Do you think that for them, eradicating racism is on top of their priority? Like, do you genuinely believe that? Do you think that all those who claim to shine a light, as they call it, or raise awareness for racism or systemic racism, do you think that they actually care and that there's nothing to gain for them? Do you really believe that? Now, I'm not talking about your average person who probably actually does care. Like, I'm not saying every single person that's involved in it doesn't actually care. A lot of people genuinely want to see racism gone. A lot of people are affected by racism. But I'm talking about those in power and those who gain more power by creating offense in our hearts so that we respond emotionally and predictably. Now, that word predictably is so important, because if they can predict how you're going to react, they have power. If they can make you occupied with the wrong things whilst you ignore the things that actually bring change, if they can manipulate you intelligently, or if they can exploit people who are weak and frustrated and downcast, that's good. They make more money. They don't care about your feelings. All they're interested in is gaining a bigger market share. And a lot of them are in bed with politicians that fund them. So there's a political element to this almost always. And this doesn't only apply to issues with race. Once you open your eyes and you'll start to see this everywhere. Like, it's amazing. And sometimes it's so obvious. Like, this is not a conspiracy theory. You don't need extra knowledge or secret knowledge to just see this. All you need is to be discerning. And it's time to stop opening doors for these opportunists whose agenda is anarchy and the destruction of civilization as we know it. Now, the second reason I believe the media does this is that we refuse to see beyond the people that are visible. We refuse to see beyond the media personalities, the politicians, the fundraisers, the X, Y, and Z, these people. We forget on whose payroll they are on. We forget who the Bible called the God of this world. We are ignorant of the devices of the devil. The media is one of the devices of the devil. He thrives on it. It's his playground. It's his playground. I think a lot of us, we're so naive and we underestimate the devil's commitment to playing the long game. Like this dude, he's been around for millennia. Do you think he doesn't have a sophisticated plan? Do you actually believe that he doesn't understand the human nature? He's been watching human beings for thousands of years. Do you think he doesn't know how to exploit the human nature? The Bible calls him the father of lies and the deceiver from the beginning. So do you think the devil is using the media to pump out truth? The devil thrives in chaos. If he can use the media to orchestrate more chaos, more confusion, more lies, more half-truth, more anything that doesn't give glory to God, and if he can do all this through the vehicle of racial tension, to him, it's just another productive day in the office. Like, he doesn't care. And again, I'm not saying that, obviously, I'm focusing on a part of what the media does. I'm not saying this is all they do. Like, let's not be ridiculous. That's not what I'm saying. But basically, the devil's job is to sell you hopelessness. The devil's job is to sell you rage and despair. And he'll be happy if you just see it as racism, if you can cite it as racism. If they can make you think that coffee is racist, the trees are racist, climate change is racist, clothes are racist. And these are all headlines that I've seen. I'm going to try and post them up on if you're watching on YouTube. What quality of life do you think the person who imbibes that and you actually believe that all these things are true and that the whole system, every system is racist and every system is out to get you? Doesn't that mess with your mind? This is what the devil likes to do, to make you hopeless and think that everything is against you. If you go out in life thinking that way, how are you going to have faith that God is ordering your steps? The devil's job is to sow fear into your heart, into your life, to feel like you're stuck and there's no way out for you, that everything is out to get you. Like, oh, everything is just racism everywhere. I'm such a victim. I can't get free. Like, I can't even get a job. I can't get promoted. If you go around life and this is how you think, how's that going to turn out for you? Now, like I already said before, I'm not disputing that, you know, everybody experiences racism in every industry, everywhere you go. There's racist people everywhere. Should you be nurturing that fear? Should you be sowing seeds of fear into your children's lives and then, you know, nurturing it every day, watering those seeds that you've planted? You've already told your children that the police don't like black people, the police don't like Indian people. If you're brown, the police don't care about you. They just want to kill you. That anytime you see the policeman, you should have fear in your heart. Anytime you see any figure of authority or you go to this industry, always look out for the biggest, baddest racist. Like, I don't understand. As a Christian, I personally refuse to teach that to my kids or refuse to go around in life believing that the police are out to get me. Even if they are, even if their plan is, my God is greater than their God. My God that lives inside of me is my protector. I don't need to fear or like every single second. Like, obviously we all have anxiety, like normal fear about life. My dear, you could be walking down the stairs, fall down and break your neck. Like, death is round the corner, God forbid. Like, anything can happen anytime. Basically, anything can become a weapon. Anything can, like, God knows, we don't know what's happening inside our bodies. We don't, there's so much we don't see. Should we then keep, like, fearing every second, keep thinking? Like, you don't even believe in the goodness of people anymore. You don't even believe that God can use people to favor you. Even if a policeman, even if the schools, whatever the experts are saying, even if it's true, why should I believe that and hold that as God's truth? Like, why should I believe that that's going to be used against me? I don't need to. I don't need to foster that in my heart. I guard my heart with all diligence, like the Bible says. I renew my mind so that whatever nonsense that the media is putting out there to make me fearful, so that I don't go out, so that I don't go and take a job somewhere, so that I don't reach the potential that God has put in me, I don't need to play with that. I don't need to hold that to my heart. Yes, they're all there, and I like to be aware of these things. I don't recommend everybody be aware, because if you can't handle it, if it's going to make you fearful, turn off the TV, turn off social media, stop being a part of these things, stop reading them. If every time you read the news, you've got palpitation, your blood pressure goes through the roof, you need to sit down, you need to take blood pressure medication, turn it off. Like, you don't need to know. The most peaceful people that I know, they don't read the news. They don't even have a TV. I know I sound like a lady from the 50s, an 80-year-old lady from the 50s who's there like, oh, the TV is the devil's box. Like, they were right. They knew what they were talking about when they said that. Like I always say, make of that what you will. But I just refuse to become that victim. I just refuse to hold that mentality. It's so ungodly. God has not given me the spirit of fear, and I will not be afraid in the name of Jesus. The Jesus that lives inside me is greater than any racist that is out there. Okay? Do you believe that? Isn't that a much better belief than thinking, oh, they're shooting all the black people. They're doing this. They're doing that. Like, come off it. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells them to put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. See, the Bible called it schemes. The media has got access to your mind. It can influence what you believe if you are not on guard. It can capture your attention. The enemy just loves to occupy your attention, because the more attention you can give anger and all these negative emotions, the less time you'll have to do things that actually bring God glory. This is why it's so important to always be on guard and always have your guard up and the word of God as a filter to whatever you're going to digest into your mind, whatever that they're putting in the media. I see it. I always like filter everything through God's word. It's so important to fortify yourself with the truth of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Dear Christian, remember that you are in a spiritual warfare, and the devil will take any opportunity to do damage by spreading lies. We as Christians are to stand as people of truth, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Amen. Thank you.